Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, Episode 86, Shall We Talk About Batman Now? We've got two segments for you this week. First is a regular segment featuring Neil, Scott, and Justin talking about superhero games, and then after that, we've got a bonus segment with Scott, JP, and Donald talking about the NHL playoffs. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today, we've got two people with me, Neil Ranahan.
Hi, hi, hi.
And a new staffer who you heard on the show for the first time last week, Justin Baker.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking superhero games. I guess it probably doesn't have to be...
It is that time of year. You know, with
that's
Iron
right.
Man 3 and
Man of Steel
Superman.
Coming out. Yeah.
I mean, Man of Steel or Hope Man or I don't know. What his name is, as of most recent trailer.
Yeah. We're going to talk superhero games. I think it can be tied to any platform. I think we'll probably get some on here that aren't necessarily on Nintendo consoles, but that's okay. Neil, I just want to start with you, because you've had one drum that you've been beating since we decided to have this segment. So why don't you open with what you view as the only good superhero game?
Well, okay. We were talking about this before, and this is the best movie-based superhero game, as far as I'm concerned.
That's probably...
There are other very good superhero games. But that is X-Men Origins Wolverine. But let it be known, not the Wii or DS version, but the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 version, or I believe it was called the Unchained Edition or something like that. But I know that the origins of this game date back to just a regular Wolverine game that was being made by Raven Software, who's now just a Call of Duty house at this point. And they were making this like mature rated Wolverine game that was basically like God of War. And then that crappy movie came out, which I think is more fun than people give it credit for. It's a piece of shit, but it's a fun piece of shit.
Have you seen the trailer for the new one?
Yeah, it's in Japan.
Yeah, and it looks really bad.
Yeah, I mean... It's the kind of thing that, like, I think they're going to make it too serious. Because the thing about X-Men Origins Wolverine, the movie, is that it's all just about people getting their heads cut off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, throughout the entire movie, it's like Wolverine and Sabretooth bickering about how they want to cut each other's motherfucking heads off. And at the end of the movie, they cut a dude's heads off. It's great. Like, is it, like, a great movie? No. But I enjoy it so much because it's just, like, so stupid and it builds on that stupidity.
And that violence kind of carries to the game too, right? I mean, I haven't played it, but I've seen plenty of like video footage. I mean, Wolverine's like literally like slicing people apart correct?
The fucking movie was PG-13, but this shit is a hard R as far as the violence goes. It's God of War with Wolverine, which if you think about it, it's perfect for the character, and that's really what it is that you get to be Wolverine in all his unadulterated glory. You get to slice motherfuckers up. There's one sequence where you like attack a helicopter, then take a dude's body out of the helicopter and then hold it up to the blade of the helicopter.
That's not even Wolverine. Like, we're getting into full on psychopath territory.
What is Wolverine?
You know, he can get pretty rabid, but I don't see him holding someone into a helicopter blade.
Keep in mind that, like, he jumped, like, 50 feet in the fucking air off a cliff onto the helicopter, too.
Pretty incredible.
I mean, like, the game isn't totally flawless, like, you know, you repeat a lot of, like basically it's the kind of thing where, like, you fight a really cool boss, but then you'll get to later in the game, and it'll just be like, hey, remember that boss? Guess what? You need to be, like, four of them right now. And it's, like, they're not even hard. It's just kind of, like, a monotonous process. But that was a game in which I nearly got, I think the only thing I didn't do was beat the hard mode. I have, like, 970 out of 1,000 gamer score for that game, which
I'm not
that big of an achievement whore, and that was just because I enjoyed the game. It had nothing to do with, like, wanting to get to 1,000, or else I probably would have suffered through the hard mode.
Not bad.
But, if you have an affinity for X-Men or Wolverine and you haven't played this game, I don't know what the hell you're doing. Unless you only have a Wii and DS, in which case, maybe you do know what the hell you're doing, because those games, by all accounts, were total crap. I actually talked to someone from Activision about this game at a Skylanders event I went to. It was just like some like corporate guy, and he was just like, "Oh, what do you think of Skylanders and stuff like that?" And so I was like, "It's awesome." And he's like, "How old are you?" And I'm like, "I'm in my 20s." And then we got to talking about like you know, he really enjoyed the Wolverine game. I'm like, "Oh, me too." I'm like, "Did you ever play the Wii version?" He's like, "No." Good, because the Wii version's terrible. Like, we didn't get a review copy for that game. That's like, it was the kind of thing, like, I really tried, and they were just like, "Nope, we don't have any."
Yeah, that's not a very good sign.
Yeah.
Why don't you take this moment too, before I move on to our next good game that we want to talk about, to sort of maybe talk about Spider-Man 2 a little bit. In the email thread, you said pretty openly that Spider-Man 2 is shitty, which now I think I would probably agree with you. At the time, did you love Spider-Man 2?
Oh, no. I guess not to hog this, but I'm just going to mention one of my other games that's on my little list, because it is related, would be the first Spider-Man game on PlayStation 1, which that is a game that I assuredly it does not hold up. I can almost guarantee you that fact. That game does not hold up at all. I mean, it is a Spider-Man game where they openly make jokes about how you are slinging through, like, you're not attaching to anything. You're just going through the air. It's, like, level-based, so it's pretty restrictive. But it was just fun because it was the first Spider-Man game that I've ever played that, like, Spider-Man didn't control, I can't even think, like, a retarded panda or something where he's, like, flying through the air and, like, you try to use a web slinging, and then he just like kind of falls, and you're like, "Well, this is sad." I had a Game Boy Spider-Man game that was abysmal, that I think was actually made by Rare or something. I don't know. But I really liked that first Spider-Man game on PlayStation 1, and I played the movie game for Spider-Man the movie, which was also kind of fun, and in that same vein, and Spider-Man 2 opened it up to be open world, which at the time was mind-blowing. Because all the Spider-Man games up to that point, and for the most part video games, were level-based. This was an open-world Spider-Man game, and, you know, it was pretty cool. And then I think at some point I sold my copy of the game, but then when Spider-Man 3 came out, I was sold on the Wii version being good, and none of the versions of that game was any good. So I got Spider-Man 3, and there was some bonus where you got Spider-Man 2 for free when you bought Spider-Man 3. So I was like, "Oh, cool. I remember that game. That was a lot of fun." And then I played it, and that game is really bad now. It doesn't hold up at all. Because all you're doing is, like, occasionally fighting villains, swinging around New York City, and then, like, saving kids' balloons.
Yeah.
Like, that's the entire game. I would say that the later one, like, Ultimate Spider-Man and Web of Shadows, do that open-world Spider-Man way better.
And that was the only remarkable thing about the game, was just, like, being able to explore New York City in its entirety and swinging from one side of the city to the other. Like you said, it was the open world stuff that made it exciting, which at this point that's been done so much that an old, like, 10-year-old game that's doing it is not going to be impressive whatsoever. Because other than that, it's just a bunch of shitty side quests and, just beating up the same goons over and over in the middle of the street. You hear a lot of, like, the same, like, canned, like, dialogue and stuff, and it's bad.
And I know I haven't played, I reviewed the Amazing Spider-Man game on Wii the other year, which, I mean, it was decent, but it was, you know, a crappy Wii version of a game that apparently is substantially better, at least according to Zach, in the 360 PS3 version that was then ported over to Wii U back in March.
He's, like, in love with that game.
Yeah, and I think that the reason why is because that takes that base from Spider-Man 2 and then, you know, turns it into a better game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
At least a modern game.
Yeah. So Justin, what's a game off of your list?
Well, I didn't know how far back we wanted to go, because my favorite superhero games were from when I was a kid. To continue the Spider-Man talk, the two that stuck out the most for me growing up were Maximum Carnage and Separation Anxiety.
Those were on my list. Yes. I wanted to talk about those too.
Yeah,
and
mine as
these
well.
It was really great because I have an older brother. He's about 4 years older than me, so there weren't a lot of games I could play with him because he was just, you know, amazing at them, and I was a little kid and thus terrible. But I remember these two games. We spent so many nights playing them together, and they're they're both phenomenal games. And I remember it doesn't seem the popular opinion, but I remember liking Separation Anxiety way more than Maximum Carnage.
Well, that was the sequel, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it was one of those things where, like, it's, I'm trying to think of a good debate, like, maybe like Mega Man 2 and Mega Man 3. because Mega Man 2 is it's a great game, but the thing is that like Mega Man 2 introduced all these concepts that then Mega Man 3 refined.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that Mega Man 2 was the one that did it first, so people hold it in higher regard.
That's probably very true. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot more mechanically refined. If I remember correctly, a big thing for me was just they had a lot of different symbiotes in the game. Yeah. It wasn't just Venom and Carnage. I mean, they had the full gambit. I think they had they had a bunch of them. I can't really remember how many there were.
Shriek is the long-haired woman.
It's here's the list. I got it.
Well, that was the whole like story behind the game, right? Because I think you could play as Carnage in the second one, could you? Or
yeah,
maybe not.
I think so.
You played as Venom. I know you played as Venom. I don't remember playing as Carnage.
But right, but the bosses were all the different symbiotes. Yeah,
right. The different symbiotes. Let's see. The symbiotes are Riot, Agony, Lasher, Scream, and Phage. I guess
I think
pronounced
Scream
that
was the one that I thought was Shriek. Shriek. I don't know. I'm getting all my like weird characters with long hair that scream all mixed up.
Obscure Spider-Man space villains.
Yeah.
But those two were really big for me. My brother was a huge Spider-Man fan growing up, so we always had all the Spider-Man games. I had the Sinister Six on NES.
Oh jeez.
Garbage.
Maybe one that I never played, which is good. I mean, a lot of those early Spider-Man and X-Men games, save the ones that we're probably gonna talk about. They're kind of all garbage. I remember that Wolverine game on NES. I wanted it so badly, and then I finally played it, and it was horrible.
Yeah. I also had speaking of good Super Nintendo brawlers, there was an Avengers game.
What is it, Marvel
Super
War
Nintendo.
Of the Gems?
I don't remember what it's called. I still own the cartridge. It's put away because it doesn't work, and it's a game that I bought when I was little, and it worked for about a month, and then I never got rid of it because it was so amazing. But that I still have the cartridge. But that was
a Capcom?
A really
game?
Great one, I believe so.
I'm pretty sure. I think that's War of the Gems.
It might have been.
That's not the fighter, is it?
No, the fighters I don't think really happened. Or was that?
There's a Marvel fighter that has like
there's X-Men Age of Apocalypse, but that's X-Men.
There's one that a Marvel one that has like gems in the title. It might have been later on. It might have been like PlayStation.
You're thinking of a different one. Because War of the Gems was there was a Super Nintendo brawler. That's actually all about Thanos, who's the big bad that's going to be in the movies.
Right? Yeah.
Coming up next Avengers, hopefully. So those were, just to continue the Spider-Man talk, those were two really big ones for me. After that, it really just kind of divulges into fighters and Batman games.
Yeah, that's probably the logical step. That's kind of where I went too. I will say I love those. Those two games, though, that you mentioned. You've got, with a little advertisement in the front saying that Green Jelly did the soundtrack, as if that meant anything to us as kids. I didn't know who Green Jelly were, but I was like, okay, cool.
And obviously, X-Men Arcade.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I was going to talk about that.
Stone Gun the Atom or whatever? Or no, never mind. Yeah, X-Men Arcade is fun.
Yeah, with the crazy, six-person cart.
With Dazzler, just period.
Not cart, but, it was pretty... pretty amazing. I saw one of those at this place, Indiana Beach, which is like a shitty amusement park here in Indiana. In their like little arcade, they had the X-Men arcade game with six players.
Man.
It was amazing.
I vividly remember someplace that I went on vacation, I think probably in North Carolina or South Carolina, that had a six-player X-Men arcade machine. And I tried to convince my family to play with me, and no one did, so I just played it by myself.
Did you guys ever?
And was like, I'll be in here. You guys can go out to the beach.
Did you guys ever download it again on like XBLA or PSN?
I haven't on PSN.
The demo, but once again, tricking people to play it with me. I think it holds up better than the Simpsons game.
It does,
But it's still a beat 'em up, and they're kind of one note.
Yeah, once you're not paying money to go around, it kind of loses its luster.
Right.
But I got it on PSN, and it's still just huge fights over who gets to be Colossus every time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not really,
that's unfortunate. But those brawlers, I mean, all of them, Simpsons, the Turtles arcade game, and they just kind of fall apart when you remove that that threat of like losing and running out of credits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me,
there's just something to that.
And I guess the Turtles aren't superheroes to a degree, but like Turtles in Time still works for me on Super Nintendo, but that's mainly because like I grew up playing that game to kind of a similar extent as like Maximum Carnage.
But which, yeah, but see, that,
Scott,
that's
we the... actually tried to find a copy.
We did at PAX. Yeah,
I saw it at one of the used game booths and thought about it real hard.
Right, thought about buying it and then sneaking it up to the retro room where you're supposed to rent games out and then just hijacking a Super Nintendo and playing it. We'll have
or
to do
just
that next
buy
year.
It and be like, here, guys, take this. By the way, I'm checking out a Super Nintendo.
Yeah, to play this game I've just given you for your library. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But like with Turtles in Time, though, like it was designed, I mean, I guess it was an arcade game too, but I feel like that was more designed with console in mind. So it kind of fits better on console. And yeah, there's still the limitation that you can die. You can run out of continues.
Right. Well, plus they added content on the Super Nintendo version, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe there's an extra level, right?
Well, I think
the level
a
with
boss.
Is that what
well,
it
I thought I thought Slash was not in the arcade version
yeah,
and he
not.
Was added. Okay, there you go.
But that
yeah.
level,
so
I,
would just, I
think, was
I would...
still in the arcade version. It's just the boss is different.
Mm.
They added a okay. level to the NES arcade game. Yeah. Like the snow level. It's pretty crazy.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, yeah, that's where I was going to move next was fighters. Obviously, I think superheroes have translated really well to fighting. It's probably better than almost any genre, maybe up until recent years with the Batman games we'll certainly talk about in a minute here. But, you know, like Marvel versus Capcom, of course, has always been mm-hmm. just an excellent yeah. series that I've loved.
Injustice is pretty fantastic.
Recently, yeah, exactly. DC's finally gotten into it. Because I think, like, the first DC versus Mortal Kombat game was kind of crappy.
It was very crappy.
I enjoyed it, but it was just... I mean, it was also during that time when Mortal Kombat itself wasn't even really that good. Whereas Injustice is coming out at a time when Mortal Kombat is awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. after the Mortal Kombat reboot. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those two series, well, I guess Injustice now and then the Marvel vs. Capcom games are just amazing, I think.
I do remember some kind of crappy, I think it was X-Men fighting games. I think it was Activision put out a whole bunch of them on like PlayStation. And there was a GameCube one that I believe I got for $1 at a Circuit City in like 2004. It was like, the weird thing is that it was like 6 months after the game came out. It was just like some weird glitch. That I read about online, and then I went and got the game for $1.
Well, that's weird. Yep. But yeah, great games. So, should we just talk about Batman now? Because I feel like that's...
Well, I still have like five, well, four other games that aren't Batman.
Okay, well, go yeah. ahead, because I want to hear that. I want to hear...
Actually, no, technically five. I guess we'll continue on that X-Men path. One, the X-Men Legends games and Marvel Ultimate Alliance to a lesser extent, but
those were good games. Yeah,
I remember it was, I think it was maybe one of my friends had like a subscription to Game Informer before it was like in vogue to just like everyone gets a subscription to Game Informer, it seems like.
Yeah,
just because like at some point you're at a GameStop and you're just like, oh, I may as well just get it. I mean, I'll get like get the magazine and like I'll save some money, I guess.
Yeah.
But I remember devouring whatever cover story that was the reveal of X-Men Legends and waiting with bated breath for that game to come out, and it did not disappoint. And I think the only reason I didn't get into the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games as much was because of when they came out. Like, X-Men Legends 1 and 2 came out when I was in, I think, high school. So it was at a time when I had a lot of free time, and I just sit and, like, just dive into these dungeon crawlers. And then the later yeah. two came out when I was in college, and not as into it. I think I reviewed Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 and enjoyed it, but I mean, it just nothing worked as well for me as the X-Men Legends games.
Those games were really good. I played through both X-Men Legends games, and I think the first Ultimate Alliance with my ex-girlfriend, but like, yeah, we just would buy those and just play through yeah. nonstop. They were a lot of fun.
Like, I've always been tempted to go back and play through Legends 1 or 2 because, I mean, there's just something about the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games that didn't work as well for me, which probably might be maybe the divided focus. I think
yeah,
I like
too much going on. Yeah.
Did either of you check out Rise of the Imperfects?
Oh, Marvel Nemesis?
Yeah, which came out kind of in the middle of the whole, like, it was either right before or right in the middle of when the Ultimate Alliance games were real big.
Yeah, I remember it existing, that's it.
Okay, I was just curious. It's always intrigued me, and I didn't pick it up at the time because they invented characters for the game, which
I heard it was
just sounds like a terrible idea.
Freaking bad.
Yeah.
I think I played that one. Is that the, yeah, I think I played that one.
It was like half established Marvel characters and half characters they made just for the game, which makes no sense because there's like 10,000 Marvel characters you can use.
It's like X-Men Destiny, where it's like, hey guys, it's an X-Men game. And it's going to be really cool. Here, you can play as three characters that you don't give a fuck about.
Yeah, that was bad. Well, even the first Legends game, didn't they have you start off as like a brand new like character that they invented for the game? Fire was your special power. Blaze, did they call you?
Yeah, but I feel like that was something that was like inspired enough. And it was also that like, it's not like they restricted you from playing as other characters. It was just like you controlled her when you walked through the mansion. That's and then when you actually got into a level, you could play as whoever the hell you wanted, which is all that mattered.
Yeah, that's true.
So, continuing with the X-Men thing, X-Men and X-Men 2 Clone Wars for the Sega Genesis.
Those games aren't good.
Not really similar, but... And I wouldn't even say those games are that great. I just have a lot of fond memories with them. The first one is... like tried to do interesting things with.
Is that the one where you have to press reset at the main menu?
Yep. That's I legitimately like stumbled into that accidentally, and it blew my mind.
So crazy.
But it just like the way the game works is that they just restrict your mutant ability so much to the point where it's kind of ridiculous. Like I do enjoy that game, mainly because I think when my brother and I got a Sega Genesis, it was like one of the three games that we had.
Yeah.
And I really dug it at the time, but it was just like so unforgiving, so hard, but it had some great music and then it had really ridiculous out there stuff.
I love like, the sound effects. Like it had,
it
had really like meaty sound effects.
Like it's the kind of thing that like there are still certain things that like just trigger back those sound effects for me.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to find, like, a gameplay clip and, like, just put the audio in at some point here. Because like, it really did have, like, it just sounded great. Right,
and even, like, the Sauron noise.
Yeah.
Like, I'm playing it in my head. I could not verbalize it at all. So if Scott or Mike or whoever's editing fails you all, go Google this game and check out the sound effects.
It's really great. Now, that's the one where Wolverine, he couldn't use the claws all the time, right? Like, it drained your special meter to use your claws.
Because that makes sense.
Yeah. I think you play as, you can choose between Cyclops, Gambit, Wolverine, and Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
So you've got, like, the dork and then the three characters that everyone loves. If they had Colossus playable, it would have been incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the second one. That was one of my only Genesis games, except for like Golden Axe and Columns. And I remember being so frustrated. I was like, "It's a game about superheroes, and you're going to make it so I can't use their superpowers."
Well, man, you
so
would have hated
really
the first Genesis one because the Clone Wars gave you so much more ability to do
it
stuff.
Did, yeah.
Really? Because even then, it felt limited. I mean, it's always interesting when they make superhero games. It's like, you kind of, to make it a good superhero game and for you to be a superhero and not just a guy that sometimes does cool things, you really need pretty unlimited access to your powers. Otherwise, it just feels cheap.
Well, look at every Superman game ever, especially...
right.
what is it? I mean, not even Superman 64, because that one's just renownedly bad. And it's made by a terrible company. EA put out the one for Superman Returns that ended up coming out like a year after the movie. But that was made by Tiburon, you know, that the house that Madden built and I guess EA Sports built. And I was actually talking to Peter Ong, who is the dude who runs, or I guess he co-runs something like that, Dream Rift, the guys who made Epic Mickey, Power of Illusion, Henry Hatsworth, Monster Tale, all that jazz. But he was at Tiburon, and he went there when they were starting development on Superman Returns because he was interested into how, you know, a sports studio was going to make a superhero game. And then the whole story that goes with that is that he realized how much of a clusterfuck the development of that game was going on. And then him and, I'm probably going to mess up the name, I think it's the dude who went and worked on Little Inferno and
Kyle Gray,
I think. Maybe I'm getting the name wrong. I think it's Kyle something with a G. But they were working at Tiburon, and they just would go into work and work on Henry Hatsworth off in the corner because it was a big enough company where they could just kind of hide out and work on that game. And then eventually they presented it, and they were like, this is, like, done. And they're like, okay, we'll put it out. That's how Henry Hatsworth got made. But back to superhero games. I mean, that Superman Returns game is just, it tried to do something where you're protecting the city as opposed to dealing with Superman's health. So your health bar was the city.
Oh, that's right.
But it was just like, it had such potential, but it was just such a, it failed. It failed so hard.
Yeah.
all right, I'll rattle off my last non-Batman game. Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction.
Yeah, that was good.
Which actually does have a link to Batman, because I think one of the dudes who was lead designer on it or something like that, he's working on Arkham Origins as, I think, the director of the game.
Oh, okay.
But Ultimate Destruction is awesome because it's an open world game where you're the Hulk and you jump around, like you put cars on your fists and stuff. That's really all you need to know.
Yeah, I was working at GameStop when that one came out, and it was pretty cool. I mean, you're right. It's the Hulk, and you smash things. There you go.
Yeah. Job done. Like, no one's even really tried to make a Hulk game since, because it's probably like, hey, guys, how about we make a game with the Hulk? And they look back at that, and they're like, well, they already did it. Like, we can't improve on that.
Well, there were a few Hulk games after it, right, that just weren't anywhere near as good.
Well, I think there was just the one based off the movie that I think tried to do a little bit of that, but it was a movie game, so they were rushed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who did that, because I do remember that game coming out. Because I think that was... like the first summer I started at NWR. But I think it was another one where they didn't give us the Wii review copy. Probably for a good reason.
And the last Justin, one. Oh, go ahead.
The last Batman game before we get to the Batman games would be Batman Vengeance, for a launch game on the Nintendo GameCube.
We actually talked about that game a few weeks ago, just Zach and I. when we were just doing a segment together, I can't remember why it came up, but it actually had like awesome like clips like from the animated series, right?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't from the animated series, but they were in that style, right?
Yeah, and the same voice cast and everything.
Yeah.
And for that respect, like, that game was really awesome. It's got some really weird mechanics, and it's kind of janky, but it's also a game that came out in 2001. Which, I mean, not that it completely absolves it, but it explains why it's like that.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that game. Like, it was a game that I got, I think, for Christmas with my GameCube. I got, like, Smash Brothers, Tony Hawk 3, which I hold Tony Hawk 3 in regard as one of my favorite games, honestly. Definitely my favorite in that series. And then Batman Vengeance. And Batman Vengeance held its own against what I admit is one of my favorite games ever, and Super Smash Brothers Melee during that holiday season.
Holiday season
in which I used gift cards to get Wave Race and Pikmin. So,
no,
Batman Vengeance
mentioned.
Held up.
Yeah, it was good. I remember it being short, but just the production value alone made it worth playing.
Yep.
I
mean, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I feel like that was the first time where you really started seeing production value like that in a licensed game. I mean, I know it wasn't tied to a movie, but just that was sort of unexpected to see that much. I mean, just the cutscenes and the voice cast all being present, like, that wasn't, like, a guarantee at that time.
Yeah. They did have that, I think it was a Sega Saturn Batman game that had, like, there's pretty much like a lost episode of the animated series that's in that game.
Oh, really?
I think it was either Sega CD or Saturn. I forget which one. But the game's pretty shitty.
Did you guys ever play the Batman Forever game? On SNES or
sprites?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So bad.
I played more Batman Forever than I have any other Batman game in my life.
No.
Yes. Because let me
before we go down that path, the Batman animated series game, I think it's The Adventures of Batman and Robin on Super Nintendo, is awesome.
Is that any good? Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of in the same vein as Batman Vengeance in that it's based off the animated series. Obviously, it's a Super Nintendo game, so there's no voice acting, but kind of like, it's like a greatest hits of, like, here, we're going to take all these things from episodes that the Joker was in. So, like, you're on a roller coaster. They have, like, the Joker bots with the guns for hands and stuff. And then they have you fight the Penguin, I think Poison Ivy. I don't think there's a Two-Face level. I feel like there's a fourth villain, but I can't think of who it is.
Yeah, that game was pretty sweet. But Batman Forever was horrendous. I can't believe you played so much of it. I played a lot of it, too, though. My mom bought it for us. And I mean, we were so young. It was like, you just played whatever you had.
Right.
I'm not sure.
As long as you're not moving any of the characters on the screen, the game looks really good.
I mean, it does. It basically, it does look a lot like, well, in Forever, it was George Clooney? No, who was in Forever?
That was Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer.
The best Batman out of those four movies.
Maybe. And then Chris O'Donnell. Like, I mean, it looks kind of like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, I remember we would spend, you know, we'd sit down on the weekend, say, hey, what game do we want to play? Well, let's play Batman Forever all weekend and see if we can get past the second level.
Yep.
Not because it's hard, but because it's just so horrible.
The controls, because you have to, like, use your like grappling hook to get from level to level, like, up and down, or drop down a floor. But the controls were so difficult. Like, just getting the grappling hook to work was like an achievement in itself, let alone winning actual like fights with enemies.
Yeah, selecting it in your inventory was a fight to begin with. I mean, it was one of those games. It's right up there with Mylon's Secret Castle as not a good game that I have poured way too many hours into. I mean, to this date, I've played both the Arkham games. I've still played more Forever than I have either of those.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, me and my brother, same thing. I mean, it was a game we had. It was co-op, and you just didn't realize that it was the game's fault that you couldn't do these things. You just kind of thought you weren't doing it right.
Oh. Exactly.
I did have a very unfortunate moment, because there's also another crappy Batman game, surprise, surprise, from that era. The Adventures of Batman and Robin on Sega Genesis, which shares the exact same title of the much better Super Nintendo game. And I think I saw it at like a flea market or something back when I was, like, I guess it would have been like 10 years ago when I was kind of starting to gather a bunch of Genesis and Super Nintendo games. And I was like, oh, I heard this game was really cool. And then I got the Genesis version. I came home and I'm like, what the hell is everyone talking about? This game's terrible.
Yeah. But anyway, Justin, how about another good game from your list? I think you still have a few more.
Let's see. I am down to Injustice and Batman NES.
Oh, Batman NES is good.
I think that is my favorite Batman game.
I've never played Batman NES.
Oh, you should.
No. Do you like Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
Then you will love Batman NES.
I should finally play it. It's one of those games that, like, it's like if I ever find it cheap, I would probably get it and then play it, but I've never really found it.
It's one of those things, like, I mean, when I found it, it was like $3. I mean, it's not expensive when you do find it, but it is oddly rare, I guess, just because people scoop it up because it's Batman.
Yep.
There was also the sequel, Return of the Joker, on NES, mm-hmm. I believe is what it's called. And that game, it's not that great. It's really brutally difficult, but it's got really, really awesome art for an NES game.
Yeah, I never played that one, but the first Batman is really great.
Yeah, the first Batman, I just recently did a playthrough for a podcast, and it's still just a great game.
It's based off the movie, right?
Technically, it's one of those things where they have these kind of crappy cutscenes, and when you see those, you can tell it's based off the 1990 movie.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, it really has nothing to do with
it. Right, because it's an NES game about a movie, so of course it's never like actual scenes from the movie. I mean, play the Back to the Future games.
Yeah, it feels like a straight-up rip-off.
Batman Arkham Asylum and Batman Arkham City, I guess, are the two we haven't talked about yet. I think both amazing. Do you guys have a favorite out of the pair? I don't know if I can pick a favorite. I like them both equally, I think.
I started Asylum and was like, well, this is cool, but and put it down. And then I got City, played all the way through it, thought, wow, that was really good, and then put it down. They're both really solid games, and they're a lot of fun. They don't seem to have hooked me the way they have so many other people, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it was with both games, it was kind of like, start game, ignore life, finish game.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, for sure, I played straight through it, you know. It was a marathon, but it just, I didn't want to go back and get all the Riddler trophies
Oh yeah, I don't mess with any of that stuff.
Yeah,
I was like, this is no Batman NES.
As I would see them, but I wasn't obsessive about it.
No. A lot of them were just so difficult. I didn't really have the time to invest in that, but just spread across both, I just really love the combat, Asylum, especially.
I mean, Asylum was, I guess, I know, I think if Mike Sklens were here, he would talk about how
it's a Metroid game.
Is like Super Metroid, but with Batman and in 3D.
Yep.
And I guess I just don't see it as that much different from Arkham City. Like, obviously, Arkham City is a little more expansive, and they do make it, you know, you're going around a city as opposed to just going around an enclosed facility. But I feel like Arkham City improves on a lot of the mechanics And the good thing that I really like about that game is that it doesn't just give you the same power-ups over again. It's kind of like you get a lot of those power-ups that you had before at the outset, and then you get more on top of that, which kind of makes it a little confusing because you have so much.
Yeah, sometimes it's a bit too much. That's kind of why I wanted to check out the Wii U version. I don't know how much on the gamepad like can help with that, but I always felt like I would kind of stick with the same like few combos or special moves because there were so many like crazy button inputs to memorize if you wanted to try to use everything that it was just too much.
Yeah, you definitely abandoned some skills by the end of the game. I mean, at the end, I was like, all right, here's the three things I actually use, and then everything else I have to pause it and Google how to use it again because I've forgotten.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah,
like, so I definitely recall some puzzles scratching my head, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I had this.
Had this one gadget that I haven't used in 10 hours, yeah. but yeah, just great games. I love, especially Arkham City, I love how much it pulls in from the sort of Batman universe, both like characters well-known and less known.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I really love about Arkham City, and it's kind of a bummer that the next game is a prequel because it won't follow up on any of those threads. But first off, I mean, the story takes some really interesting turns throughout it. And, I mean, is it that huge of a surprise? No, but it manages to bring in so many Batman characters and villains that, like, who cares if the story's absurd? It's fun.
Right.
And then there's also all the side stuff that, like, I guess these are kind of minor spoilers. If you're that concerned, they probably won't mean anything to you if you're not a interested in that. It wouldn't be a spoiler if you even knew what the hell I was talking about. But they have stuff where, like, they have Azrael, who was Batman after I think he was like a guy who tried to replace Batman when Batman got his back broken
during the Nightfall arc. He did replace Batman briefly.
Yeah, and then there's the stuff with Thomas Elliot, who's Hush in Batman Hush. And it's like this kind of fucked up shit where it's like he's killing people and taking their faces. And
yeah.
At the end, he made Bruce Wayne's face. And he, like, you're on the other side of the chain. You're on the other side of the bar. And it's, you know, this dude with this, like, you know, pasted together face that looks like Bruce Wayne. And then he talks about how he's like, you know, I'll be seeing you, and walks out.
Yeah.
Although, I won't lie, I did not finish all of those. Because after I played through the game, I lent it to a friend of mine. I didn't get it back for a while. And I didn't get to finish all the side stuff, so I just YouTubed it all. I did, like, I was, like, halfway through, and I was like, oh, I'll get it back from him, and then I'll finish it. And I got it back from him, and I tried to go back into the game, and I was just like, it's been, like, 2 or 3 weeks. I don't really remember what the hell I was doing. I'm just going to watch these on YouTube.
There you go.
I lost nothing. It was really cool to see all those videos.
Yeah, I mean, just like exactly that kind of stuff, just pulling from the comics with all these obscure things while also featuring enough, like, well-known characters and arcs that any fan of Batman or DC at any level can appreciate the game. I think that's great.
And plus, Mark Hamill. I mean, come on. It's Mark Hamill.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Sucks, man. He's not going to be back for any other games.
I was going to say, he said that's his last one, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you played through Arkham City, then you know that it is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anyway.
It's a freaking prequel. So.
Yeah.
That's true. Maybe that's why they did it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that is probably why they did it, but I still don't think that Mark Hamill will come back and voice the Joker for the prequel. They don't even have Conroy coming back as Batman.
Yeah, you know, I did like how much Batman lore they pulled in, and this I know is an unpopular opinion. I don't feel like they did enough. I feel like I've seen the Penguin and Joker since I was, like, in diapers. I'm so sick of the Joker. I'm so sick of these same villains. I mean, yeah, they have other guys. They're in there, kind of side missions.
But they're on the side. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's why I was so into the Brave and the Bold cartoon show. I mean, it's all completely obscure, weird Batman stuff you've never heard of. Yes, and I guess we could even touch on the game. Way Forward did the game, and I haven't. Yeah. I haven't played it, but it was supposed to be a really great Batman brawler.
I think I got like halfway through the Wii version, and I had a lot of fun with it. And I reviewed the DS version, and I think I beat it in an hour and a half. Like, 100%.
I heard it was short,
but holy crap, was that an incredible hour and a half? Like, there was one point where you are a Batman. Like, Batman is on top of, like, Gorilla Grodd or something. Or maybe it's Ultra Humanite, because Gorilla Grodd's a villain. Some ape-like character. he's just chilling on top of him. You're going through the level. You have like some ability where Aquaman comes through and just basically rains down, like comes in on a whale and hits people. Kind of the precursor to his awesome Injustice special move.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And it's all beautiful sprite animation too. I would actually go back and read my review. I don't really remember much else about the game other than what I just said, but it was a lot of fun for an hour and a half.
Yeah, and I mean, it may just be because I'm a huge Batman fan, so it's like, yes, Mark Hamill's the Joker. It's great. I love that they have him there, but I'd really honestly rather see something new and different, yeah. You know?
I guess the side stuff, for me, did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that is really where all the obscure stuff is. I mean, you're right. The main quest isn't going to feature anything like that. I mean, you pretty much know everyone. Even like someone like Ra's al Ghul, you know now from the movie.
Right.
So
I mean, obviously, if you want normal people that don't have like Batman comics hanging on their walls like I do to buy the game, you need to put the Joker and the Penguin and everyone in it prominently. Right. So, I mean, I understand the reasoning. But
that's what might be interesting about Arkham Origins is that right now it's the Black Mask and what is it? Deathstroke? Or no, Deadshot? I always get them confused. What the hell is the name?
It's probably Deathstroke.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. Yeah, Deadshot is in Suicide Squad.
Ah, right. Yeah.
So could be Deadshot, but probably Deathstroke.
I think it's Deathstroke. And I think they revealed someone else. And then there's the rumor that the Joker might be in it, which I guess would be cool.
Yeah.
I feel like with going to the prequel, they have more of an opportunity to go a little weird.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they didn't have him in there a little bit. I mean, they probably have hundreds and hundreds of hours of audio recorded, and they could probably put something in there. I doubt he's going to be 100% absent. But
well, I mean, they could use the guy who voiced the Joker in Injustice. I thought he did all right.
Yeah, he did. Okay. That was a good Joker.
You know, so maybe that was his triumph.
You know who did a pretty damn good Joker? Crap, I'm blanking out on his name. The guy who voices Bender in Batman the Red Hood. John DiMaggio.
It's something...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did Joker. That's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah. Now, Scott, you should... it might be on Netflix Instant, Batman Under the Red Hood.
It is. I almost watched it the other day, but I watched a different one instead.
It's real good.
After playing so much Injustice, I was like, I want to watch some, like, freaking stuff on Netflix. So I watched... Wait. What did I watch? I think I watched Year One.
I mean, Year One's a great story. I just hate that movie. I think
it was just okay.
Like a motion comic.
Yeah, and it felt like just a bunch of, like, connected, I don't know, like random scenes sort of just strung together that didn't like really, I don't know, it didn't feel like one cohesive story. Yeah.
I would say it's a good supplement to the comic, but I would read the comic.
Yeah.
Because the comic is great. Oh my God.
And then I watched some Justice League stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah, because now they have, like that entire run is fantastic and they have both seasons or both series up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mean, just kind of going on this DC animated universe tangent because I'll always take that up. I watched the most recent one, and we might do a bonus segment on that. I'm not sure, but Superman Unbound, it was pretty good. I mean, not Superman fighting Brainiac, which it's kind of funny in the special features. It's the one dude Jeff Johns, who I think he's just like the creative officer at DC or something, and he's kind of like the liaison between like the movies and the comics and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, he did. He was big. He did the Blackest Night.
Yeah. I mean, like he was a comic writer for like a decade. I think he worked with Richard Donner at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a comment in one of the bonus features on Superman Unbound, being like, "Who knows what Brainiac will come up with next?" And I was watching it with a friend of mine, and I was just like, "Brainiac's going to be shown at the end of Man of Steel. Count on it." It's just like this really ridiculous tease at the end of that, being like, who knows where it'll show up? It could be anywhere. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Carl was spouting about that a couple weeks ago, about how he's like, I think Brainiac's behind all like General Zod and Man of Steel. I'm excited for that movie.
Yeah, me too. I don't really like Superman, but that movie looks like it takes it an interesting direction. So
yeah,
it looks pretty fun.
It can be worse than the last Superman movie.
No, nothing could be worse.
No matter what.
Remember when the most exciting part of that movie was like his kid throwing a piano or whatever?
Because you're like, look, something happened.
Yeah.
Look, some tension.
I think I went through a phase, as probably most most kids when they're 18 to 22 go through in the past decade, where I was super into Kevin Smith. And I saw one of his Q&As shortly after Superman Returns came out. And someone asked what his thoughts were on it. And he basically was just like, you know what it really could have used? A fucking giant spider. Which, if you guys listen to Kevin
running
Smith
joke,
at all, he
made
that comment about how it was like the crazy producer on Superman was just like, he needs to fight a giant spider in the third act.
Yeah. And then they put it into a Wild Wild West.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you see Superman Returns and you're like, you know what would have made this better? If he fought a giant spider in the third act. Because it's true. Yeah. Like, that movie was just boring. He didn't have any fight at the end. It was just kind of like Lex Luthor kicked the crap out of him. And then, like, he threw some ground into the sky, I think. I don't even remember. And then they never see each other again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. And it was the... Who played Lex Luthor? Because he was the worst
Kevin
Lex Luthor.
Spacey.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yes. Oh, my God. Who thought that would be a good idea?
Yeah.
Gene Hackman.
Oh, there you go. He was like, you know who we need for Lex Luthor? Kevin Spacey. Yeah. You guys ever see K-Pax? There you go.
Yeah. You know who we need for Lex Luthor? Clancy Brown. Because that is the voice of Lex Luthor. I do love how if you watch all those animated shows, you can't really tell if he's black or white. Because they just leave it ambiguous throughout, like, the entire show. Where, like, in one episode, he'll be slightly darker colored. And in another one, he's super white.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of this segment. Yeah, I think so. I think we've said all we have to say about superhero video games.
Yeah, plain justice.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a Deadpool game coming out for not Wii U. I don't know. I mean, the Deadpool game looks interesting, but I don't know.
A lot of breaking the fourth wall, of course. And heard people say it's funny. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think they had a gameplay trailer recently, and I haven't seen it. Maybe I'll watch that after we're done this.
Well, it's High Moon, isn't it? I mean, they did some really awesome Transformers games.
Yeah, I played, like, a demo of one of those games, and it seemed fun.
Yeah, War for Cybertron was their first one. I played through that, and it was a phenomenal Transformers game.
Yeah.
I just want Beast Wars. I don't like Transformers. I like Beast Wars.
I want a good Beast Wars till I went back and tried to rewatch it. Turns out I don't like Beast Wars.
It's still got
to
be better than going back and watching the Transformers show.
The 1986 Transformers movie, the animated film,
still
is
great.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
it's
classic.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the first Transformers movie, and I mean, the first Transformers movie really wasn't that bad. I like the one with the beef in it.
Yeah.
Like, that one really wasn't that bad. And after that, I was like, guys, let's watch the 86 one. I haven't seen that in forever. And at the end of that movie, I'm like, that was way fucking better than that movie.
Just that soundtrack, man. Stan Bush. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
You got the touch, man.
No way. I'll still say the episode where Dinobot quotes Shakespeare the entire time is better than anything.
I think that is pretty good. But
that
come
rescues
on, they do
Beast
have
Wars.
Weird Al.
Yeah, Dare to Be Stupid.
Yep.
Weird Al track.
That's true.
God. I love that movie.
What a awesome,
brilliant, just like touchstone of the 80s. I mean, it's like everything you want.
And then Eric Idle voiced like the stupid robot or whatever.
Yeah, and Leonard Nimoy, Orson Welles.
Yeah.
I mean,
Orson
Welles,
like the last role he was in before he died.
Yes, I think it was. Wasn't it? It might have been.
I think there's some quote from him where he's just like, Like someone asked him what he was doing, and he's like, I don't know, some fucking thing with toys.
Some dumbass cartoon.
Yeah, his last quote before he dies is, fuck it. Like, there you go. And then he did Transformers movie.
It's a paycheck.
Yeah. Like, coughing up blood. It's a paycheck.
Guy's gotta live. And then he died.
Made some great movies.
So, there you go.
Yeah,
little,
let's wrap the shit up before
little
we go
Transformers
on another tangent.
All right, well, Justin, Neil, thank you for being here. If we haven't talked about your favorite superhero game, if we've somehow missed it, post in the talkback thread. Tell us what it is, why it's so great. Talk about the games we talked about. I mean, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, I love superhero stuff generally. I'm always interested to hear of other superhero games I might have missed or that we forgot to talk about, because that's the more likely scenario.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And if you love Batman Forever, be sure to write in.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk to you. We need to start a support group.
Yeah, we need to get you help.
Yeah, I'd say so. Awesome. All right, well, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, bye.
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 Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to send your listener mail questions to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and please rate and review the show on iTunes. Now we've got a bonus segment for you about the NHL playoffs.
Hello, everyone, and that is right. We are back with another bonus segment all about the NHL playoffs. Hooray for, surprisingly, about 10 of you who listened to this, which was about 10 times more than I thought it would be. So that is exciting. Once again, I'm with Donald Terrio.
It takes about 3 days to recover from being kicked in the groin and having your heart ripped out simultaneously.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then JP Corcoran.
As someone who's had to deal with Flyers goaltending, I know the feeling.
I would imagine so. So yeah, we're going to revisit now our predictions from the first round, talk about some of the more exciting series, especially involving one of our favorite teams here. And then we will look forward to the next four series, which as we're recording this, I think each has a game underway. LA and San Jose are playing right now, but we don't know the outcome of that. So each series has played a game to this point.
I've got NHL.com open right here, so right now... Oh, right. Rangers-Boston is in overtime, 2-2.
Oh, that's right. We might get a live update.
Stop recording this and go watch them.
We will get a live update from JP when that game finishes, which will not be live for you, because by then you will know the outcome, but it'll be live for us.
Yeah, don't pay attention to hockey and learn about the outcome of that game from me.
If you needed to learn the outcome of that game from JP now, like 2 days later, my guess is you aren't listening to this segment because you aren't a hockey
Probably
fan.
Not.
So let's get right into it. I figure we'll just go through each series in the same order we talked about it last week. I've got what actually happened, and I've got our predictions here, so we can see how wrong we mostly were. But not with this one. The first series we talked about last time was Pittsburgh versus the Islanders. And as we all predicted, Pittsburgh won. But I think it was a little bit maybe scarier for Pittsburgh fans than we thought it might be.
Fleury showed up in his full playoff form.
Yeah, how about that? That was pretty amazing. I think especially, let's see, it must have been game 4 where he just completely fell apart. I think the final score was like 6-3. And I mean, that final goal where he's like laying on the ice halfway in his net, like with his paddle, like sort of down on the ice, not really, and then sort of just directed the puck into his own net. That was something special.
I remember before the season started, and there were people who questioned Pittsburgh signing Thomas Lechien to be their backup goaltender. Like, it doesn't seem stupid now, does it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, Pittsburgh pretty much won that series in spite of Fleury, not because of Fleury.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it takes something special to make Nabokov look good in that series, because Evgeny Nabokov was absolutely terrible as well, but not the worst goalie by far. That was just, I mean, it was funny how much it echoed the Flyers and Penguins from last season.
Except,
and I know
not quite to that extent, but yeah, it had undertones of it, for sure.
Right. And go ahead.
It didn't have as much fighting, unfortunately, but yeah.
Well, that's true. I guess I mean in terms of just outrageous goalie performances in the worst ways possible.
Not as many dozen goals either.
That's true. That series was incredible last year, but this one was almost up there, and if Pittsburgh hadn't signed Vokunin and didn't have that to fall back on, I mean who knows what happens.
That was money well spent. I mean, I think the Pittsburgh GM was up for the award. I forget which the award is for GM, but he was up for it, and I think you look at what he's done, it's like Vokunin and everything else he's done over the course of the season, he's a strong candidate for it.
Yeah, the executive of the year, and yeah, definitely. I mean, he's got some tough competition, certainly, but signing Vokun might be the difference between them making the finals and going out to the Islanders in the first round.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well,
that series
was something.
Well,
not to mention all the moves they made during the season.
Yeah.
I hate the Penguins, but they're
doing it right. Yeah, and like we talked about last time, Ginla and Morrow and everything. I mean, that was good, smart moves. But Vokun obviously now looks like the best decision of all. Seeing how Fleury played, and now everyone's saying, well, are they going to buy Fleury out after the season, before the next season starts? I don't know, but obviously he's got something going on. And now Vokun has started the past two games. Now it'll be, I guess, three games. He finished the series against the Islanders, and he played the first game against the Senators, which we'll talk about in a minute. But not good for Fleury there at all. So, yeah, but we all predicted Pittsburgh to win. We didn't really pick a number of games that they would win in, but we knew that that would end up Pittsburgh's way, and it did.
As you'll go on to find out over the course of this segment, I was wrong about a lot of these things. But this is, like, one I really wanted to be wrong about.
Yeah. I for sure. I mean, there's something kind of special. I mean, obviously I didn't want it to happen with the Hawks, but there's something kind of special about watching the first seed get knocked out by an 8 seed, especially when everyone's so high on. I mean, everyone just loves Pittsburgh, and has been predicting them for a while to be contending for the cup. And so there's always something kind of special about watching a team like that fall apart.
Correct you there. I mean, a little point that everyone loves Pittsburgh.
I was going to say, by everyone, do you mean the league office?
I was going to say, office, media, that kind of stuff. Obviously not fans. But yeah, well, and we'll talk about NBC and NHL conspiracies in a little bit with another team that got bounced in the first round. A little bit of whining going on. But the next series then to talk about was Ottawa and Montreal, which we all had wrong. We believed it would be Montreal in about 7 games, I think, was the consensus. We believed it would be long and drawn out, and that was not the case. Ottawa won it in, what was it, 5 or 6?
5.
5, yeah.
I mean, that was... No, I don't think anyone saw that coming.
I mean,
that was crazy.
Apparently, Erik Karlsson's deer antler spray paid enough dividends that they were able to survive, the big game.
They're just firing on all cylinders right now. Ottawa is playing, like, everybody on that team is playing the best they've played all season right now.
Yeah.
If you can pull that together in the playoffs, I mean, they lost to Pittsburgh in their first game, but I would watch them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to think, I mean, we'll jump into this series in just a minute here, but you got to think Vokun. You know, I mean, he's Vokun. He's not going to have shutouts every series or anything.
Lundqvist. He's good, but he's not that good.
Right, exactly. He'll come back down to Earth, and I think things will even out. But yeah, big surprise. Well, Price goes down in game four.
Right.
Right before overtime. Probably the worst time you want your goalie to go down. I mean, you don't want your backup coming in, hopefully at any point in the playoffs, but definitely not coming in cold before the start of overtime where one goal is going
to
be it.
You don't want to be forced to put your backup in.
No. And, that's exactly what happened. And what Peter Budaj, he comes in and gives up not the greatest goal in overtime, and then starts the final game. That's a must win for Montreal, and they definitely don't win it, not even close. He gave up some really bad goals almost immediately in that game, and that was all she wrote.
Well, at least it was over quickly for me.
Well, yeah, because this is the series you were saying you wanted to end in a tie with both teams eliminated. So at least you got one eliminated quickly and got to move on. Yeah, five games. We said Montreal in seven. We said it was going to be a low-scoring, kind of gutsy affair that was going to drag on for a while, and that was couldn't really be further from the truth, I guess. But
oh, there was one sweep. There was a sweep in the
West that we'll get to. And then you did have the game of shenanigans. I think it was game three, maybe, where you had the point in the third period where there was basically no one left on the benches. You had the full line brawl, and then even the next shift, there was two more fights, I think. I believe it was game three.
Yeah, it was game three. It got to the point that Senators captain Daniel Alfredsson was playing defense because so many defensemen for Ottawa got thrown out of the game.
Unbelievable. And then you had game one with the huge hit on the, I can't remember his name now from Montreal. But the huge hit where he spun, hit his head on the ice, and broke his nose on the ice, and blood shooting out everywhere.
I think it was Eller, but all I remember from that is player 61.
And then you had the Ottawa newspaper the next day had a picture of it, and it was like kind of playing it up and talking about how bloody of a game it was and everything, and kind of maybe not the classiest move for Ottawa, but what are you going to do?
That's the Ottawa media for you.
Yeah, and these are two teams that don't like each other, and that's what's going to happen, I guess. So Pittsburgh and Ottawa then, this kind of fell in perfectly aligned, so we might as well talk about them. As JP said, Pittsburgh already took game one in a pretty commanding fashion. And, I don't know, but I think Vokoun comes down, back to earth, and I think Ottawa wins. I think Ottawa will win the series, actually. I do.
Really? They were able to sign Vokoun as a backup. A guy like that can have a run, but if you're counting on him to make it deep run into the playoffs, that's holding your breath at Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah.
Well, as long as it's not Fleury, I think Pittsburgh will be fine. I mean, Ottawa is getting a lot of the players that they had injured back. I think Leton Dress will be coming back for game two, and there's a possibility that Jason Spezza, one of their leading scorers for the last several years, might come back before the end of the series.
Yeah. They've been talking about that.
They've been decimated by injuries all season, so they're getting healthy at the right time if they can put it together.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll be able to pull it together in time. I think Vokoun will be steady enough, and this Pittsburgh team is just way too good at this point. So I've got Pittsburgh in five.
I mean, I think outside of if Crosby gets hurt again or something like that, then sure. But I think if barring something like that, I guess I'm going to pick against the Senators and for the Penguins again, even though I'd rather pick the other way. But my gut says yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna be the opposite of that. I'm gonna say that it's gonna go six games, and I think Ottawa's gonna pull it off. I think either game two or game three, Vokoun's gonna get blitzed. They're gonna lose that game, and then there's gonna be this big controversy about who should start. You stick with Vokoun, or do you try going back to Fleury? And I think they're gonna go back with Fleury, and I think that's gonna be the downfall. That's my guess.
I would like nothing better than this Pittsburgh eliminated from these playoffs. So I really hope you're right. I just don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, we'll see. We will definitely see. And so moving back to the first round then, we had the Capitals and the New York Rangers. We believed it was going to be Washington in about seven or six games is what the general consensus was, and it ended up being the New York Rangers in seven games. Close series all the way through up until the last game, really, when New York just decided, nah, we think we want to make it to the second round and just kill them 5-0.
Yeah, instead of the famous gif of Ovechkin's controller getting unplugged, it looked like the entire Capitals team got unplugged.
God, that gif was so good. It's like my favorite thing from the past month. But yeah, and Ovechkin had a really bad series. He scored a goal in the first game, and then that was it. Nothing for the rest of the series. I think maybe an assist, but not much. And then actually went to play for Team Russia
in the World Championships, and he's already eliminated there too, 8-3 at the hands of the U.S.
Yeah, so rough times for Ovechkin all around, and I guess his foot's fractured too. They said so he's playing on a fractured foot.
If he can get hurt, this is probably the best time to go in.
Well, Eric Staal disagrees. I don't know if you saw the knee-on-knee hit he took today, but he looked really bad. That didn't look good. But so New York moves on. Surprisingly, I thought, I really didn't think they were going to have the scoring to keep up with the Capitals, but the Capitals just weren't scoring goals.
Right. Where the hell was this?
Yeah, very surprising.
I think that was more of a factor. The Washington just doesn't do well in game sevens.
I probably should
have realized that before.
Like that.
And then we had this series, Boston and Toronto.
God.
It hurts, but you got to admit that, this was just a hell of a series. Unbelievable.
Oh, it was, I think it was my favorite to watch. The ones I've managed to watch.
It had to be. Just because of how close and competitive it was.
It's everything you got to love about playoff hockey, unless you're at least, it's, lead changes, comebacks, overtime. It was an amazing series.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You get Boston runs away to a 3-1 series lead. You think, okay, that's pretty much going to be it. Toronto battles and keeps the series alive, goes all the way to 7, a 4-1 lead halfway through the third period, and just can't hold on to it.
It's such a way.
Someone did the math on this. I think he writes for an Edmonton Oilers blog. He worked it out that sort of game happens once every 4,800 years or so.
It's like too perfect, it's too perfectly scripted. It's like, going in, to bring this back to the Flyers a little bit, back the year the Flyers lost to Scott's Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup, the year they played Boston and came back from down 3-0. They came back from down 3-0, and then in game 7, they were down 3 goals to none. It's just too perfect. How does it actually happen that way?
Right. It's like perfect for a Hollywood script. It just doesn't even make sense.
Or an exhibit picture, which I'll post to the talkback thread for this.
Okay, perfect. Donald, what was your impressions, watching this series? I kind of listening back to the podcast, you didn't really give Toronto much hope. Although in the end you did pick Toronto. You said Toronto in 6. But I think you just picked that because they were your favorite. As you were talking about the series, you kind of really didn't have much faith in them, it sounded like.
It seems like they did better than you expected them to.
If you told me at the start of the series that Toronto would go to 7 with Boston and game 7 would be in overtime, I would have been happy with that, honestly.
Yeah.
I admit that I picked Toronto in that because it was strictly a homer pick. Yeah. I wanted them to win, but just looking at the past history, that they were able to at least get it to 7 was enough. And because Toronto was I think the worst puck possession team in the league all year, and the fact they actually made the playoffs in some circles was viewed as a miracle.
Yeah,
but
that, and you had Kessel had actually a good series. I think he was a little quiet in the first few games, but the last half of that series, he was actually very good.
Kessel had
in Boston too.
Yeah, he had three or four goals in the series, and the thing I was afraid of is that Tyler Seguin would go off, and he only had one assist. Of course, that was on
no
team
goals.
Winner,
yep,
game 7.
Yeah, unfortunately, but yeah, no goals. Yeah, so it was sort of the reverse there of what you kind of expected out of those two guys. So that was good to see.
But
it was just exciting. But like you said, ahead of time, 7 games losing overtime, you'd have been happy with, but then watching it play out and losing the way they lost is just
because when you get up 4-1 with
late in the third
with 10 minutes left in the third. I had the TSN playoff comebacks page up ready to refresh it at the final buzzer in case just to see Toronto.
You jinxed it for him. It's your fault, right?
Yeah, I know that now.
And that building was quiet. And the team, even Boston, on the bench, they just seemed content to lose that game.
But
and
we
then...
had Claude Julien fired.
Yeah.
If Toronto had completed the comeback, there is no doubt in my mind that he'd be unemployed right now. But
yeah, I mean, even on the bench, he wasn't animated. He wasn't angry. He looked like he was prepared for that loss as well. And then it just the goals started coming in, and it was just unbelievable to score two goals within 30 seconds with your goalie pulled.
That is very rare. That happens maybe once or twice a year that you see the pull the goalie with two goals actually work.
Right.
But Toronto just never had it. It never defended the points well, and all those shots that went in off Reimer.
You can see it watching the game. It's just Toronto is playing not to lose.
Yeah, and
which, I mean, I guess almost up 4-1, it's game 7, 10 minutes to go.
It doesn't
plan. It seems like it's an okay plan, but once you give up a couple of goals, it's like, okay, you got to turn it back on, and they just couldn't.
Yeah. I don't know if they were tired or what. I kind of heard that the bench is kind of shortened a little bit near the end of that game. They were only given certain guys shifts. Donald, you'd be able to speak to that more than I'd be able to.
Yeah, well,
Boston's
was way worse just because they'd lost two defensemen already in that game. I think Chara played 35 minutes,
yeah,
even with the overtime. But Toronto was, they were running three lines and four defensemen for most of the third period. But, I mean, JP, you're a Browns fan. You know what happens when you go into a prevent defense in football. The only thing that prevents is winning.
That's the thing. I was going to bring up the Browns. It's like I know how you are. I know what it is. I know being a fan of a team that's consistently terrible. I understand that.
But
I mean, it seems like there's stuff to build off of, right? I mean, are you excited about the future? Or do you feel like this was a fluke season, and next year they're not even going to be in the playoffs again?
I think this series really really showed why they had the free Jake Gardner campaign on Twitter, proving that he is one of their best defensemen. So hopefully next season Toronto will play their best lineup more consistently, and hopefully this playoff experience is a lot like what Boston even had the year they blew a 3-0 lead and a 3-0 lead. Choked while they choked.
It was a fun year, wasn't it, Scott?
Worked out well for both of us. A little better for me, maybe.
Just
but
a bit, yeah.
But
and then maybe you guys will have Luongo, too.
You know what? I think we're fine with Reimer as long as he works on his rebound control.
Reimer's been all right from what I've seen. I haven't watched many of these games, but he looked all right in the postseason.
I don't think you guys lost any games because of Reimer.
Yeah, and even Roberto Luongo was saying Reimer should be the goalie for Canada when they go to the Olympics next year.
Yeah.
But I've always, like I said on Twitter, as soon as that last goal went in, there's a lot of similarities between being a Leafs fan and a Nintendo fan, and that was the Wii U launch for the Leafs.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if I said something, but I meant to say something tying it into the Browns. I mean, it's just, you're watching it implode, and you're like, how is this happening?
See, I think a better analogy would be that's not the Wii U launch. That's the December following the Wii U launch, because you've got all this hype. There's actually good stuff initially. Things look great. And then you just cruise into emptiness for the next four months.
The Wii U launch was great. The launch itself, if you isolate that, it was great. It's more like the Wii U February.
Yeah, exactly. It was the next 4 months.
I was going to say March, actually, because you had Lego City, which was game 5, and you had Monster Hunter, which is game 6, and then... Oh, we only sold 35,000 Wii U's this month. That is Game 7 overtime.
Yeah, that's probably that's a good comparison. Yeah,
comparison.
I'm into it.
I could probably get 600 or 700 words out of that comparison, honestly. Matter of fact, I'll send it to one of you when I work on it at work tomorrow, and maybe it'll be on the site. Who knows?
Yeah, it'll be a blog post we'll put up there. It'll be your thesis. So then now we have Boston against New York. And that first game's going on right now, like we talked about. JP, have you given us an update?
It is still going on. 7 minutes left in overtime, still tied 2-2.
God, yeah, I'm going to turn this game on after this if it goes double overtime. You got to love those double and triple overtimes.
Yeah.
Everyone's exhausted. Always good stuff. What do we think? I mean, I got to lean Boston. I think New York was kind of lucky to make it in. A lack of offense, I think, will just like we said before, will prevent them from getting any further.
I think the injuries that Boston got in the Toronto series.
True.
Again, I'm probably going homer pick here just because at this point I want Boston to go down in the most humiliating fashion possible.
Yeah.
But I think Lundqvist showed he had two consecutive shutouts against Washington, which is a very high-powered offense, that he can easily steal one or two games in a series. And New York, I had New York in seven, this one.
Okay. What about you, JP?
I'm going to go with New York. I mean, and I guess it really depends on which New York shows up. If they can score, they don't have to score five a game, but if they can score a few a game, and Lundqvist can play like Lundqvist, I mean, if they can do that consistently, it's hard to see anyone beating them, but I think they definitely get through this series if they play that way.
Okay. So we got a little division. I like this segment where we got different picks, which we didn't really have last time. Although, actually, I forgot to mention it. Both JP and I did pick Boston in seven last time for Boston-Toronto.
Right.
So
isn't
we did have
that
one
right.
And breaking news, Boston just took game one. Brad Marchand got the overtime winner, and I'm now throwing something.
So my prediction is
there's a reason they play seven games.
Looking more correct. Yep, not over yet. We'll see what happens. So let's move over to the Western Conference now. The first matchup was the Chicago Blackhawks, the Minnesota Wild. Just a really boring series all around, I thought. The Wild are just a really bad team. I don't know how much of this series you guys watched, but it was besides game one and three, which the Hawks actually lost game three in overtime. Like, those were the only exciting games. Other than that, it was just the Wild just didn't even look like they should be in the playoffs, which they barely made it in, so I guess that's fitting.
They barely made it in.
This year's Western Conference 8 seed is a little bit worse than last year's Western Conference 8 seed.
Yeah, a little bit.
To be fair, Minnesota did lose their starting goalie to injury in the warm-up for game one. Yeah. And when you have a replacement goalie who, although he didn't play very much because he was recovering from MS, with how that goes, and the fact that he was able to at least keep it close and pretty much stood on his head for most of game three.
Yeah, he played pretty well, actually, in game one especially, and played pretty well throughout the whole series. And then in game four, it was the first time he got pulled. I think he let in three goals, so they pulled him and brought out their third-string goalie, their AHLer. Oh, you know, actually, in the third game, my mistake, fourth game, he got hurt. Jonathan Toews fell on him driving to the net, and it looked like he kind of hurt his leg a little bit. And he finished the first period, and then he didn't return for the rest of the game. That's what it was. So then we had their third-string guy come in, and he didn't do too well. And then they had Harding start the fifth game, played a little bit, let in three goals, looked visibly still hurt. So they went to the AHL guy again, and that was pretty much it. So
Minnesota's a talented team, and they got if they can navigate the salary cap, they got a future. You know, this won't be their last year, but this definitely was not their year.
No, definitely not. But you're right. A lot of offensive talent that just now need to get some defense, and really they're setting goalie as long as Backstrom's fine, which we found out after the series is over, he had a sports hernia injury and actually had surgery for it.
Ooh.
He was in bad shape, and I don't know if you guys saw the video. I mean, he was just warming up, just kind of slid side to side to block a shot in the warm-ups, and you could tell right away things weren't right. He kind of crouched over and needed to be helped off the ice, and that was it. That was a shock turning on that game and getting the updated news that he wasn't starting. So that's true. A little bad luck for Minnesota. I think he's a little bit of a difference maker. He's a very good goalie, but he wasn't there, and I guess that's how things go. So
we'll be back.
Yep, absolutely. So then we had Anaheim and Detroit, which kind of a surprising series, I thought. All of us picked Anaheim, although I think we did pick it to go six or seven games, so we had the number of games sort of right, but it turned out to be Detroit. I don't know how much of the series you guys watched, but kind of shocking to me. And Detroit actually came back. They were down 3-2 in the series and won the final two games. To win the whole thing.
Losing Abelkader for a couple games, that didn't seem to hurt him all that much, actually. Just Detroit has so many veteran players. I thought Lidstrom would be their death knell, but still have Datsyuk and Zetterberg, and sometimes that's all really you need.
They have veterans, they have leadership, they've been here before. This is a team that can play like that.
Yeah, absolutely, whereas Anaheim hasn't been in the playoffs in a handful of years. A lot of young kids on the team, and just didn't come together for him for whatever reason. I mean, got all the way to seven games and just kind of fell apart in the seventh game. Just really wasn't even close. I think Detroit won 3-1 or 4-1, and that was pretty much it.
Although I think one of Anaheim's better players had he was playing on a torn ACL for the series. So that will Francois Beauchemin. So that'll really limit your mobility.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Because it's the cup, dude.
Trademark.
I'm used to it in like the NFL of torn ACL is like you're done for the year, that's it.
And
you play for a whole series.
Wow. Apparently a torn tricep can knock you out, but some people are tough enough that they can play through just about anything.
Yeah. Crazy. And so now we have the Blackhawks against Detroit, which is sort of a dream matchup for fans of both teams, I think. Unless you're really wanting Detroit to move to the next round, maybe it's not a dream matchup then. But just last time is conference rivals, which is exciting.
The only other time you guys will meet in the playoffs for the foreseeable future is if it's for the cup.
Right, which really would make people go crazy over here. Yeah, and the last time the two met, it was in 2009, and the Wings bounced the Hawks 4-1 and went on to lose to the Penguins, but made it back to the finals again. And I actually think the series will play out the same, just in reverse now.
Yeah.
Although I'm hoping the Hawks win the cup, but I think this series will play out just in reverse.
Detroit is the other team that I want to see lose. Like I hate Detroit. Probably not as much as Scott hates Detroit. I hate Detroit and I hate Pittsburgh. Once they lose, I'm just rooting for good hockey. But like this is a team that I kind of like Chicago anyway, even despite what happened in 2010. But
yeah.
I would
be
for anyone.
Now, what if it was Detroit and Pittsburgh back for the cup?
Then I would kill myself.
Only option. It's funny. Over here, I think the Detroit-Chicago rivalry has kind of died down a little bit, maybe just because they haven't met in the playoffs in a few years, and Detroit just hasn't been as dominant as they were like in the 90s, especially.
I remember
this
couple of those teams very well.
The
Flyers. Yeah, I'm sure.
The 97 team.
That would be the one specific one that sticks out in my mind.
To name one, yeah. So like now it's a lot more Chicago and Vancouver is sort of the recent rivalry. But you still kind of get up for these games when it's Chicago-Detroit. And it's just fun to watch the two teams clash. Those two iconic jerseys going against each other. But I have the Hawks in five. I don't know. What about you guys?
I'm the same, Hawks in five. I think Detroit can get a game at home, but Chicago has just been way too dominant for pretty much the entire season. I don't see them stopping until probably at least the finals.
Yeah.
And Vancouver and Anaheim both going out in the first round, that pretty much leaves the door wide open for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see Chicago and LA in the conference finals. I think that would be a very good matchup. But yeah, what about you, JP? I know you're picking the Hawks, but
yeah. Well, I wouldn't necessarily pick the Hawks. You know, I pick the Penguins. Right? It's not necessarily that I pick with my head, not with my heart. But okay. I still am picking the Hawks. No more than five. I think it's very possible that you're probably able to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the first game yesterday, they dominated them. I think almost doubled the shots. It was like 42 to 22 or 23 or something like that. So very good game for them.
And
if
Crawford goes down, you have either Ray Emery or Patrick Sharp, apparently.
Or was it Seabrook. Yeah, Brent Seabrook.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah, amazing play by him, knocking the puck out of midair, away from the net. Pretty incredible. I think we're all going that way then. And then we had in the first round Vancouver and San Jose. Both of you picked Vancouver in five. I took San Jose in seven. We were all sort of wrong, but San Jose did move on in four, the only sweep of the first round, which I would have not picked this game for a sweep, or this series for a sweep, I should say.
This is just, you've got to learn, this is something you learn, never pick Vancouver, because they will never actually move up to the
hype
ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved how someone was giving me guff in the talk back for the last time I was
on. Oh, yeah. That got heated.
Yes, it's calling out, saying that the Leafs weren't relevant. Well, who's relevant now, honey?
Yeah, pretty wild. Just sort of unsettling for Vancouver fans too. I think with their goalie situation. I mean, Luongo starts the first two because Schneider's still hurt. Lose both those games. Schneider comes in. I think plays worse than Luongo, and actually, I think more goals against in those two games with Schneider than with Luongo. Yeah. And now you're left beaten in four games and kind of wondering, well, where do you go now?
Yeah, so
the sad thing is right now Vancouver has more question marks in net than the Flyers do. So I mean, I think they really need to figure out what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did not lose games 1 and 2 at home because of Luongo. They lost games 1 and 2 because they couldn't score any bloody goals. And then in game 3, Schneider gives up 5 and Luongo throws a shutout in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then Schneider starts 4 and gives up a handful, and that's all she wrote.
So do you keep the $50 million goaltender, or do you buy him out, or what do you do? Because it's not like Vancouver's not lacking for bio candidates beyond Luongo.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just a tricky position to be in. I've heard actually some people floating now, well, why don't you just try to trade Schneider and get like a young, you know, get a draft pick or, you know, young prospects or maybe a superstar for, you know, young star for him and gamble that way and keep Luongo. I don't know now. It's just, it's a mess.
I think that's more cap concerns why they're looking to get rid of Luongo, because they're pretty much at the cap.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, and I think we're going to see some maybe front office or coach shaking ups near the end of the summer, I would think. I mean, I don't know how long you can keep just doing this. I mean,
I think
not good.
I think by the time the entry draft comes around at the end of June, I'm pretty sure that that Alain Vigneault is going to be looking for work.
Yeah. And he'll find a job quickly, I'm sure. But yeah, I would think that's got to happen. Yeah, I don't know. This year was weird for the Flyers. I don't know who you blame. Just a lack of defense, really. I mean, I don't know how much you put on the GM.
I think Snyder's going to give him one more year.
Yeah. So we had San Jose in 4, surprisingly. I think we were all talking about playoff windows closing, and we all had picked San Jose's window to be much closer to closing, if you will, than Vancouver, but it turned out not to be the case.
I will.
Still open.
Yes, well,
it is correct.
Well, no offense to Mr. Lindemann, but I'm not sure they're going to get out of the second round. But more on that later.
Yeah, it doesn't seem good for them. And then so we had the final series, the Blues against the Los Angeles Kings, and we all picked LA. We said in 7, turned out to be in 5 actually.
6.
No, it was 5, wasn't it? Oh, you're right. It was 6. Right, Blues won the first 2 games, and then Kings won the next 4.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Okay. I was thinking they won the first one and then Kings took the next 4. You're right.
Yeah.
So that's right. Yeah, they lost the first 2 games in St. Louis and then went back to LA and then won the next 4 straight. That's right.
Yeah. The only game of this series I really got a chance to watch was game 6, just because, you know, West Coast series, it's hard for me to do it when they're four hours behind me. But
yeah.
I couldn't see them coming back after giving up a goal with 0.2 seconds left on the clock in game 6. Center put that one in.
That was amazing. Yeah. End of the second period, I believe.
Yeah. End of the second period. Penner lets one go and, you know, get the puck on the net. Good things happen. In this case, you know, 0.2 seconds left and Kings take the lead. Experienced enough.
And then I think they scored pretty early into the third period too, if I'm not mistaken. Within the first minute or two of the third period, I think they even put another one on them, and I think that was it. But pretty crazy, but not surprising, I don't think, for LA to come out just maybe not to come out as dominantly as they did in those last 4 games. Especially, I mean, quick look shaky in those first 2 games. Yeah. Really bad play on that first overtime. First overtime.
There's one of those goals in every playoffs. I remember. I don't remember who it was for San Jose who had one sneak through on a Dan Boyle owned goal a couple years ago.
Oh yeah, that was Nabokov. It was against the Colorado Avalanche. The game had shot 0-0 going into overtime, and Dan Boyle goes to throw the puck around the boards and throws it straight at Nabokov, and it just slips in. Amazing. Yeah, that was special. But yeah, so LA progresses as we all picked. They would. Seems like they're coming into form now as the cup winner. I heard a kind of an interesting stat that if LA, Chicago, Boston, and who else am I looking? Oh, and Pittsburgh all progress, then it's going to be the last 4 cup winners against each other to move on to the cup final, which is pretty wild.
It's entirely possible.
I would think so. I didn't pick Pittsburgh. I thought Ottawa would.
You're right. You didn't. But
yeah.
And I didn't.
But you two did. I thought.
I picked Pittsburgh, but I didn't pick Boston to win.
Oh, right. Because your heart says no.
Yeah, then I didn't either. So,
But yeah, so now we have LA and San Jose, kind of a fun battle of the West Coast there. I don't know, it's probably not as heated as the Ottawa and Montreal series was up in Canada. I don't think there's as many Californian hockey fans.
They're not quite as diehard about it in California as they are in Ontario. But
NorCal versus SoCal isn't much of a hockey rivalry. It's more of a baseball rivalry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but still pretty exciting. I'm sure, like, I don't know, newspapers and things are very excited because now they don't have to send their beat reporters very far, just like the Chicago and Detroit series.
Yeah, Chicago, Detroit, LA, and San Jose.
Very close,
Boston,
yeah.
Boston, New York are pretty close. I mean, yeah. Not much distance in these series.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, although the difference between San Jose and LA, that's like the difference between Toronto and where I am.
I guess that's true. We like to think. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've drove from San Francisco to LA before, and it was about 7-8 hours, maybe.
Okay,
and so San Jose is maybe like an hour off of that, maybe.
Yeah. So
outside of Kings and Ducks, it would have been hard to do much better.
Yeah. So I'm going LA in this. I think that's the way we're all sort of leaning.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
And not just because they're up 1-0 and winning 1-0 right now.
Or are they already winning the game? This second game too.
Yeah, end of the first round.
Yeah.
I've got LA in 7. I think it'll be a tight series most of the way, but in the end, I think LA, you know, being the defending champs, be the man. You got to beat the man, and I'm not confident that San Jose can beat the man 4 times in 7 games.
Yeah. No, me neither. It's kind of exciting to see LA get this far. I think it's been a little while since the previous Cup winner has progressed, you know, to the second and maybe even third rounds. I know the Hawks didn't do it. Boston was bounced in the second round last year.
First round.
Oh, first round. That's true. That would be the last time. Yeah, it would have been 2008 and 2009. And then the Hawks won it in 10 and were lost in the first round. And then Boston lost in the first round last year. So.
And if you're looking for boobs in this segment, sorry, Zach. The only boob just got suspended for the rest of the series.
Yeah, a little Rafi Torres reference.
Yes.
You know, I actually didn't think that hit was that bad. I don't know. I only saw it like once quickly, but it didn't look that bad. I mean, the hit against Hossa I thought was a million times worse, which obviously they deemed it was. I mean, he was suspended nearly 25 games, but
yeah.
I don't know. Well, and this is kind of a weird suspension too. I can't remember the last time I've heard suspending sort of a, you know, an X amount of games, that it just depends how the series plays
out.
Yeah,
because he's suspended for the balance of the series. I think it's more of a reputation hit than anything because, let's face it, this is Rafi Torres we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they were going by previous suspensions, he'd be probably out of the league at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I guess after coming off a 20, I think it got reduced to 21 games, but a 21-game suspension, coming off of that, yeah, like 4 to 5 games is, yeah, like a slap on the wrist at this point. So, but yeah, so there you go. I think that's our predictions. Not too bad. We'll see how things play out. I guess by the end of next week, we'll know how things go. So you can look forward to maybe another one of these in 2 weeks, I guess. And we'll have our conference finals predictions. That'll be good. Hopefully another one of us isn't talking about our team being eliminated.
Well, there's only...
Referring, of course, to myself.
Yeah. You're the only one left,
I'll
Scott.
Still be talking about my team being eliminated.
Yeah. That's fun. We can talk about that. There won't be much to talk about this next segment since there's only 4 teams to talk about. So we'll have some filler in there. All right. Well, thank you guys for being here.
What?
Should we drop Should we drop a code word in to make sure everyone listened again? It was pretty fun.
Yeah. Let's use.
I don't know. When do you guys pick? I picked pickles last time.
How about Jeopardy?
Okay, yeah, you're a big Jeopardy fan. Let's do that. That's in his wheelhouse. Okay, so if you've listened to this point, type Jeopardy into a TalkBack thread.
And I'll just take a moment here. If you like hearing me talk about things that aren't hockey, you can grab me on Nintendo Free Radio. It's at nintendofreeradio.podbean.com or in the TalkBack. And in a couple of weeks, we'll actually be having JP on the show.
Yes. Just before this episode, we set this up, so I'm going to go listen even more to the backlog and make sure I'm completely up to date with the format and actually play some games so I can have something to talk about.
That's important. Cool. Well, there you go. So look forward to that in a few weeks' time then. And yeah, that'll do it. So thanks, guys, for being here.
Thanks a lot.
All right. We'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.